While the number of people seeking home loans is up, home prices are still way down.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We got word today, applications for home mortgages rose last week. That's according to a report from the Mortgage Bankers Association this morning. Numbers out tomorrow are likely to show foreclosures are dragging the market down even further, though. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Home prices were down more than 5% in November compared to the previous year, according to research firm CoreLogic. That's the fourth monthly decline. A tax credit for first-time homebuyers helped jumpstart sales and push prices up last year, but only temporarily, says Sam Cotter of CoreLogic.
It will be a number of years before the market recovers.
Most analysts expect home prices to fall at least 5% more, dipping below the lows already hit in the recession.
And that's primarily because there's a large supply-demand imbalance, way too many homes on the market, in addition, a large pipeline of defaults.
And all those cut-rate foreclosures are dragging down home prices for everyone, says David Blitzer of Standard & Poor's.
Not only are there a lot of them pending, but every time we think we've worked through the last legal issue or signature issue for foreclosures, there's another one.
Some banks stopped foreclosures temporarily because of those legal issues, but home seizures are likely to pick up again this year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
A year ago today in Haiti, time stopped. Not that Haiti, one of the Western Hemisphere's poorest countries, had progressed much into the 21st century, much less the 20th. But when a massive earthquake jolted the country to 7.0 on the Richter scale, the devastation was beyond belief. Tracy Wilkinson is a reporter for the Los Angeles Times, and she's with us this morning from Port-au-Prince. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. How are people doing economically in Haiti 1 year later? What's going on there?
There's a lot of frustration at the very slow pace of recovery. Perhaps nearly a million people are still living in tents and that kind of precarious shelter. Many, many, many people are still unemployed, no jobs. If they had jobs before, they've not been able to become reemployed.
How are people getting by, Tracy?
Very much hand to mouth. There is a lot of food and water from the international community, the charity agencies. Some people receive remittances from relatives abroad and live by that. That's how they're getting by.
Where are we right now in the relief efforts, Tracy? How is money being funneled into Haiti?
Different ways, and that's been one of the problems. A lot of foreign governments and some of the agencies are reluctant to give money directly to the Haitian government for a variety of reasons, including a history of corruption. So money has come very slowly through that route. There is a what they call a cluster of aid agencies under the auspices mostly of the United Nations that funnels a lot of the money as well.
Tracy Wilkinson, reporter for the LA Times. Tracy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
By the way, we have a photo gallery of Haiti 1 year after the earthquake at marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The S&P up about 0.9%. The NASDAQ up by 0.2%. The Dow higher by more than 100 points at 11,774. European and Asian shares are mostly higher today as well.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
In Illinois, the legislature has passed a 66% income tax hike to help make up for a huge budget shortfall there. A lot of states are in the same boat, too, facing catastrophic spending cuts, even default. But no state has taken the ridicule and the criticism for its budget fiasco as much as California. One columnist says that's unfair. The Golden State contributes a platinum share to the national economy, and the ribbing should stop. Brett Ahrens from The Wall Street Journal is with us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you say California isn't quite this pariah that a lot of people make it out to be, calling predictions of its default as hogwash. What's your reasoning?
This is a myth that has gone around and has been repeated so many times now that everyone just believes it. But the reality is California's economy remains very successful.
Give us an example of your idea of success.
Per capita, real economic growth. You look at how much an economy has grown per person in real terms. And over the last 10 years, California has grown about 15%. The average for the U.S. is less than 9%. California has grown faster than most other states in the union.
So it's growing at a faster pace. But you can't hide, Brett, the fact that the state has this daunting budget deficit. I mean, some are saying as much as $25 billion. I mean, how do you account for that?
No question there are problems. I mean, no one's suggesting it's fine. My problem is with people who think that it's somehow a basket case, you know, that they're sort of doomed.
By doomed, you mean bailouts. There have been rumblings of a California bailout, right, since the housing market collapsed here and everywhere else. But in your column, you say it's just the opposite. How has California bailed out the rest of the country?
What happens in America is that essentially the high-income, high-productivity, and high-cost states pay much higher federal taxes than they get back in federal spending. California has probably transferred about $600 billion to the rest of America in the last quarter century. America has been an enormous beneficiary of the Californian economy. You know, if you want to use a European analogy, they are Germany, they are not Greece. They have been pouring money into the system. The idea that somehow this state is on welfare, that the rest of us are, quote, propping it up, is nonsense.
Brett Ahrens, columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Brett, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, a lot of California state workers are about to get disconnected from their state-paid cell phones. Governor Jerry Brown says 48,000 employees will have to give back their cell phones by June. That saves $20 million a year. So the governor's budget crisis message to thousands of state employees? Can you hear me now? I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, tweeting, by the way, at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We're all used to tech-savvy upgrades for cars and phones and computers, so why, oh why, are we still lugging around plastic cards to pay for everything?
I'm sitting here uncomfortably in this interview with a big, chunky wallet in my pocket.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Wallets as a thing of the economic past. That and the numbers from Wall Street, today's business news as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.